This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with demands for a hike in the minimum wage. Today in Boston and in about 100 other cities across the country, fast food workers are staging a one-day strike. They're demanding that the federal minimum wage be doubled from the current $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour.
The average fast food worker earns just below $9 an hour, and few of them get health care or other benefits. As a result, many say they depend on food stamps and other public benefits to make ends meet. But the fast food industry argues that a minimum wage hike would mean layoffs and higher prices for consumers.
Here's Bob Luz, president of the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, who says the minimum wage is merely a starting point in businesses that allow many people to advance.
The minimum wage is meant to be an entry-level wage for workers just entering the workforce. It's not meant to be a living wage. And the amount of hourly workers that move into owning franchises is an incredibly high number. The restaurant industry is the path to middle income.
Today's one-day strike is focused on a single Burger King in Dorchester. Reginald Zimmerman is with the group called Mass Uniting, which organized the Boston Walkout. And Reginald Zimmerman, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So respond to what we just heard Bob Luz say, that the minimum wage is supposed to be an entry-level wage for workers who then have an opportunity to advance.
Well, I mean, a lot of the folks that are working minimum wage, you know, they have no choice but to, you know, that's the only jobs they can find at this, you know, at this time, because, you know, a lot of corporations have wiped out millions of middle-class jobs during the recent recession. Now, instead of, you know, replacing those good jobs, you know, corporations have been adding more low-wage, no-benefit jobs.
Right. Now, you're calling for a minimum wage hike of $15 an hour. That's more than double the current federal minimum wage. Why such a big hike? And is that realistic?
I mean, yeah, I think it is realistic because these companies make multi-million dollars in profit. And, you know, with that, you know, just raising, like, for example, you know, we had a study that showed that raising a Big Mac just 5 cents would be able to cover the pay raise for those workers.
Hmm. So tell us a bit more about how the plan behind this one-day strike. What's going on out there?
So basically what we've done is, you know, it's been, you know, fast food workers joined with community support, you know, some political leaders, some faith leaders, and basically they're sending a message that, you know, and putting the fast food companies on notice that it's time for higher wages.
Hmm. Now, are these folks who are walked off the jobs, are they at risk of losing their jobs by striking today? Because a lot of them aren't unionized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, first off, hats off to them for being, you know, brave enough to do that. But there's been such an outpour of community and political support that, you know, these workers, you know, they know that their community and city stand behind them.
Right. And Reginald, what's the plan after today's strike for your group? What's the plan going forward?
Well, the plan is, you know, to keep mobilizing, to keep building this movement. You know, this movement started just, you know, a year ago in New York City, and has spread. You know, first, you know, we had an August 29th action that spread to 60 cities across the country. Today, we have strikes and rallies going on in more than 100 cities.
Right.
Across the state.
It's
across the country.
Across the country. Reginald Zimmerman is with the group Mass Uniting, which staged a one-day strike of fast food workers in Boston, one of 100 cities participating, where workers are demanding a hike in the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Reginald Zimmerman, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Let's turn now to Jeanette Wicks Lim, assistant professor at the Political Economy Research Institute at UMass Amherst. Economists from that group have done some of the most interesting recent work on the real impacts of raising the minimum wage. Jeanette, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome to you. So first of all, the high water mark for the minimum wage was back in 1968, I believe, when it was $10.60 an hour in today's dollars. But fast food workers, as you just heard, want it raised to $15 an hour. From your point of view as an economist, is there a justification for that?
Yeah, I think that it is useful to first think about where the minimum wage has been in the United States. And you're right that in 1968, it reached its peak value at about $10.60. That's the inflation-adjusted value, today's dollars. Mm-hmm. That's what the minimum wage would be. But, when you think about what workers should be paid, you don't just think about wages rising with the level of the price, overall prices. You also think about, how much are workers producing? How many goods and services are they producing? And if you look at how much more productive U.S. workers are since 1968, they're over twice as productive as they were. So another benchmark that I think is useful to think about is not just the $10.60, but to say, well, if we also adjusted for how productive workers are today relative to 1968, what would the minimum wage look like? And it would look like something on the order of $25 an hour. So what that sort of underscores is how much the real value of the minimum wage has fallen mm-hmm. over time, both in terms of just thinking about inflation, but also in terms of how much stuff our economy is producing and how much access workers have to that, the wealth that we're producing.
Right. Well, let me ask you just briefly about that, because some might say, yes, productivity has, radically increased since the 1960s, but that's in part because the nature of these low-skilled minimum wage jobs has also changed, and many of them, maybe the actual value of them isn't as high because the productivity is being achieved by other things, systems, technology, et cetera.
Right. Well, I think that they are more productive because they have access to machines and computers and those kinds of mechanisms. But the fact still remains that the value of the goods and services they're producing has gone up tremendously. And so it's really a question about how much of that share of income that our country is producing as a whole, do these workers get access to?
Now, let me ask you, your group has done some research, some really interesting research on the actual effects when it comes to raising the minimum wage in neighboring states and counties. So when there is a differential between the minimum wage in places that are very geographically close together. What's the outcome? A lot of employers claim that they're going to have to lay off a lot of workers when there's a raise in the minimum wage. Has your data actually borne that out?
Yeah, so this is a question that economists have been studying for a very long time. What is the impact of minimum wage increases on employment? And a colleague of mine, Aaron Dubay, and some others have done some really interesting work looking at this this relationship. And just as you described, what the study did was it looked at what happens when a county raises its minimum wage and how does its employment change relative to a county right next door in a different state, but right next door, mm-hmm. But the minimum wage does not rise. And what the study finds is that there is no discernible employment impact. In other words, when you really make these very close comparisons, geographic comparisons, and you see when the minimum wage rises in one labor market but not the other, but they're pretty closely combined because they're right next to each other, what happens to the jobs? And the jobs don't go away.
Right. Is there an impact then on the costs that are passed off to consumers? Maybe specifically since we're talking about fast food workers today, do we know if the cost of a burger would rise radically or very minutely?
Right. This is a really important point, and this is something that we've looked at closely. I mean, we've done multiple studies actually adding up the costs that employers would face if a minimum wage goes up by, any particular proposal that's being debated. And the thing that we find over and over again is that the cost increases to employers, even fast food employers, the cost increases are very modest. And so, your earlier guest had mentioned something on the order of a nickel for a $4 Big Mac, something mm-hmm. like that. And that figure actually comes from a study we did recently where we looked at a proposal to raise the federal minimum wage to $10.50. And, if the employers had to pass off about half of the cost increase through prices to consumers, that's the kind of a price increase we're talking about, something very small, 5 cents, a nickel more on a $4 Big Mac. Now, the $15 minimum wage is considerably higher. But even so, if you look at the pattern of how cost increases go up when the minimum wage goes up in bigger and bigger sizes, you're still looking at something probably on the order of 5 or 6% of a cost increase relative to sales, so
right.
a 5 to 6% price increase.
Well, I wonder if we can finally just take a step back and sort of get at the central claim here when it comes to raising the minimum wage by the protesters today. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, we heard from the Massachusetts Restaurant Association that many fast food workers, when the minimum wage goes up, it helps them move into the middle class. And I know that your group there at UMass has also found that, say, a 10% increase in minimum wage reduces poverty by 2%. So not insignificant. But I do wonder, are there better ways to help working families? I mean, especially in a place like Massachusetts where, say, housing is so expensive. What if we gave additional housing assistance rather than raising the minimum wage?
Yeah, no, I think this is an important point. I think that the minimum wage is a really important policy measure that we can use to help working poor families, but it's not the only policy tool that we have. I think another major policy that we see that working well is the earned income tax credit, which is basically an income subsidy for workers who have very low incomes, but even though they're working. So I think you do have to have a combination of policies that help the working poor, especially given that the federal minimum wage is so low at $7.25. You're going to have a multiple series of efforts to help those families.
Well, Jeanette Wicks Lim is an assistant professor of economics at UMass Amherst. She's with the Political Economy Research Institute out there at UMass. Jeanette Wicks Lim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, the extraordinary life and complicated character of baseball's greatest hitter, Ted Williams. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.